Broadcasting live from beautiful, historic Marion, Ohio, it's Now with Scott Spears. Call Scott live on the air anytime at 740-383-9944. No topic is too big or too small. I'm your announcer, the man with the golden voice, Ted Williams. And now, here's your host, Scott Spears.
Thank you, man with the golden voice, Ted Williams. Scott Spears coming at you here on a Thursday, September the 21st, 2023, 14 minutes past the hour, 57 degrees and sunny skies here in the Marion area. And I'll tell you something, it's not every day that you start a show and the date itself is controversial. Because, as I have said many, many times, I consider this the first day of autumn. Now, the meteorologist will tell you that this year that autumn does not come until Saturday, September 23rd. Now, I think they're all nuts. I hate to say that, but I think the meteorologists are nuts. I think this is like heat index and wind chill, which is all dependent on your body and how much you perspire and what the winds are and all that. So I really feel that the first day of spring is March 21st. I feel the first day of summer is June 21st. I feel the first day of winter is December 21st. And I feel that the first day of autumn is September 21st, which is today. So, you know, you'll watch all those high-tech meteorologists today tell you that there's 48 hours until autumn. But you know what? I think that's just so they can fill time. Because honestly, if you pay attention to these meteorologists, how many times have they told you there's going to be a big storm and there's not a big storm? How many times have they told you there's a tornado coming and there's not a tornado? How many times has this thing happened in central Ohio? So I've got to believe that today is the first day of autumn. Now, if anybody would like to object to this, feel free. I'm open to it. 740-751-4038. I understand I leave myself open when I say things like this. But, see, and I never can get the equinoxes and the solstices straightened out. I know there are two equinoxes a year, and there are two solstices. Now, I believe this is the autumn solstice. There's the spring solstice and the autumn solstice. And then there's the summer equinox, and they have different types, like vernal equinox, something like that. And then there's the winter equinox. I knew we'd get a call because people are serious about their spring and summer and autumn and all that. Go ahead, caller.
Hey, Scott, we lost you.
You did?
Yeah, all of a sudden it just went blank. There's no sound.
Oh, well, we don't need that. I think we're still up and running. Hold on, let me double check here real quick. As far as I know, we are. Yeah. Hold on here. Let me check and make sure we still got something coming through here. I will double check here real fast, but I don't see any disconnect, which is a good thing.
Maybe
no, we're on. Again. We're on. Just restart your app, I think, is probably what happened.
Okay.
Yeah, make sure if it comes back on, give me a call.
Okay.
Yeah, I think, is everybody else still hearing me this morning? See, the gods of autumn and summer came down and got me there. 740-751-4038. Can everybody else still hear me out there this morning? You know, if you ever have a problem like that, a lot of times your app maybe just lost connection at home. But as near as I can tell, our app is still playing. So if you're still hearing us out there this morning, give me a buzz here real quick at the top of the program. 18 minutes past the hour, 740-751-4038. That's 740-751-4038. Are you still hearing us out there this morning? It seemed to be coming through the app okay. Hopefully this is somebody saying, yes, we can hear you. Go ahead, caller. Oh, good. Must have just been something with Lee's equipment. Do you have any feeling on this first day of autumn?
Yeah, let me give you a
example of interpretation?
Yes, yes.
That's on your beginning of your show. That guy just wakes you up right now, don't he?
Yeah, that old Dr. Demento. So do you think this is the first day of autumn, or are we still in summer?
Well, I wish you was right on all four of them, because the four seasons here in Ohio is great. And just knowing that the 21st is the start of them would be a great pleasure and a tradition that ought to stay that way.
Well, and I think these meteorologists, who I like, I'm friends with Ben Gelber and a lot of them, Jim Ganahl, but I just think they need something to talk about, so they postpone it 2 or 3 days.
Yeah, they hear about this. They will they'll give you a long story. All of the channels will tell you something probably a little different and relating, but I know the calendars you receive, some of the places still give out calendars. I looked there, and all the President's Days and this and that back in the days, you know, when you, that was the way it was, but I don't know what day is what's supposed to be celebrated or not, you know what I mean on that part.
Well, I'm going to say today's autumn. Well, and technically, if it doesn't come for 2 days, what does that really hurt?
That's correct, yeah.
Yeah.
Now, I don't know where you got the other, where people got the transition on that. You have the Old Farmer's Almanac. Now, you kind of watch that pretty steady. What does that say year after year?
Well, they like to change it. Now, they change it based upon moons and years that we do not have leap day and things like that. So, they're kind of half and half on it. They don't go all the way in and delay it 2 days, but then they also don't leave it on the 21st of the month.
My wife watching Cowboys and the Cowboys and Indian variety of the show. She likes Grit on TV. But I hear them talk about many moons ago. So back in their day, that was many moons ago, wasn't it?
You know, many moons ago, we used to get this right, and it was always on the 21st.
Yeah, okay.
Hey.
We got you. You're going to say something about the brown jug today, aren't you?
I am. Let's just get into that right away, because today, and it's exciting because today is the final race. The jug's been going on all week during the Delaware County Fair, but of course today is the final race of the Little Brown Jug, so we'll know the winner tonight, and we'll announce that tomorrow morning. But first $1 million purse in the 77-year history of the Little Brown Jug. I think that's fantastic for Central Ohio.
Yeah, it's very, very exciting thing throughout the Central Ohio area, people that pertain to the horse races. It's always neat to go down there, and you're going to be down there at what time today?
I'll be down there. You know, I think we're going down. There are two different caravans of us going down today. I think the first one is going, and I'll be in the first one. I think we're going down about 3 o'clock. And
you're in the first one. That's a pretty good thing. You're the number one man, right?
Well, I don't know if I'm the number one man, but I'll be in the first caravan.
You're going to be in a convertible sitting there in the back with flags going down that with WWGH on them, or how is that going to transpire?
That's right. Security all around. It'll be a big thing.
And on the one? Some of the old girlfriends and stuff.
That's right.
That don't get a ride with you, you know, this day and age.
So some of the old castaways, yeah, they get to ride in the second caravan.
Yeah, the castaways, old, too. You put that old in. They're just about around the same age as you are, aren't they?
Right, which I think, in since I'm calling them old, it's really more of a reflection on me, I think, than anything else.
Oh, yeah. It's how you present yourself and hold yourself up this day and age, right?
Right. You have to do that some way. Well, you know, when I say old, maybe it's not necessarily age. I'm talking about they're old to me.
Well, that old term, you know, that don't mean nothing to me, you know. You get something and you have it for a couple years, and the quality of it wasn't any good. And you said that thing isn't any good. The old thing, I'll just throw the old thing away. It's only 2 years old.
Well, you know, I you're exactly right. I wore these old girlfriends out. They're just they're in the past. No, but we do. And it's so exciting today. I'll tell you why. Because number one, the first $1 million purse. I love that. I think that's going to be fantastic. Number two, I love something where you don't know the winner, and right now we don't know the winner, so we'll find out later on today. I love talking with Roger Houston live and in person and seeing him do his thing over the PA, which we have exclusive access to that. I'm excited for that. And also, Matt is in one of these caravans, and he has never been to the Jug, nor has he ever been to a horse race. So it's kind of exciting.
Well, keep him away from the beer garden because he might really rattle off some horse racing adventure on the radio if that announcer that you had on would let him. Didn't the announcer, though, say, and I can't think of his name because I'm not familiar with his name day in and day out, but didn't he say while he was on the show there the other day that he gave out a couple favorites, didn't he?
He did. I don't remember what he said. We'll have to check him, though, and see if he gets the races right. Now, I do know this. This is the only thing I know for sure, is that the last 2 years, the horse and the jockey who have won have been trained by the same person. So maybe the trainer has a lot to do with this.
Yeah, I think I recall that after you said that. Scott, I think that's the way it was, the trainer. A lot of people like the sulky races instead of the jockey races. You know, there was a big difference there. But ask him when the last time, I hate to say something like this, you know, really, when my horse, but I believe, I don't know why I believe this, but I think the year I was down there, someone got killed, that there was the cart come over and run over, or they had a collision down there, and that's been a few years back. Maybe ask him if there's been any deaths in the jockeys, or not jockey, but in the sulky races at the Little Brown Jug.
That's a good question. I will ask, because tonight, it's interesting how we all do this. When we first go down there, now today, we have access to some, and I don't want to give the secret away, but we have some access to some special places that we did not have access to last year. But also, he comes over, Roger, when everything's over, he comes over and he does a big interview with us. So it'll be exciting. We'll have some fun.
And is this going to be aired during that period of time you're talking or not?
Well, you know, we're up in the air on that right now. It'll definitely be taped, and if we tape it, it'll be aired tomorrow morning.
Oh, great. Okay.
Yeah. So the problem with airing it straight through live is that there's a lot of dead points because you don't really know when the race is going to end. So to give an exact time is kind of hard to say tune in live. So I think most likely we will tape what's going on tonight and bring it back tomorrow morning.
That sounds very reasonable. Yes, you can have it all fixed up and it'll sound good, Scott. Take care.
Thank you. Bye-bye. Yeah, so it's a big night for us here at the station. We're all excited. We've actually, no kidding, we've got two caravans of groups going down to the Little Brown Jug. We've got this thing wired today for broadcast, which anything we do tonight, we will bring back tomorrow morning. It's just hard to cover the Little Brown Jug as a live event because you don't know when the final race is really going to be. You kind of know the time. And also the problem is getting close to the race is also kind of difficult. So let's take the next call here. Go ahead, caller.
Yeah, Scott, I restarted it and I got you back.
Yeah, I think your internet probably just had a hiccup there. But how do you feel about the first day of autumn? You think it's today or Saturday?
Oh, I really ain't really thought about it. I don't really care, really.
But people like to fight about this. They really get upset. If I say today's the first day of autumn and they believe it's Saturday, boy, they get a little punchy.
Well, I know sometimes it can be really warm in late September, too, but, you know, September hasn't been warm at all, really.
No, not at all. Now, the Little Brown Jug today, we're going down there later on today, two caravans of us, and what do you think of that big $1 million purse? Took them 77 years. They always wanted to have $1 million, and today they get there.
That surprises me. There's a lot of people do that horse racing. There has to be money in it because it costs a lot to, run those race horses and keep them out, and some of them are really expensive.
Well, you know what's interesting? Last year, I don't have the figures in front of me, but I do believe that last year the winner got something like over 800,000. So, I mean, they were close to a million. Let's put it that way.
And while these big stables, they have several races and horses that they travel around. I know Kyle Lamb had horses.
Oh, yeah, good guy. Well, you know, I'll tell you, I am not particularly what I would say. I like the horse racing. I covered them for the Marion County Fair a couple years. My family has always liked to go down to the horse races and do that sort of thing. It's not something particularly I have ever went out of my way to do. But last year was the first year we covered the Little Brown Jug, and I just love the atmosphere. I love the time of year that it happens. You know, it's not in the heat of summer. I like that it happens on a Thursday night, not a weekend when you would get a different crowd of people. I like that it happens in Delaware, Ohio, you know, not necessarily the most populated area in the world. I like that they have a whole lounge that has the Hall of Fame and a real Little Brown Jug, and it's just the greatest atmosphere. And they have these things like this man, the voice Roger Houston, who's been covering it for 55 years. And the thing itself has been going on for 77 years. And there's just a lot of tradition. And this year is the first year. By the way, if anybody wants to watch it, you can watch it on television. It will be on Fox Sports for the first time.
Oh.
Yeah. So I think it's...
There's a lot of horses that go to Little Brown Jug that would never come to Marion.
Oh, well, it's my understanding from Roger that the Little Brown Jug is the biggest harness race in the country.
Yeah, they don't come to Marion, those horses.
No, and boy, I tell you, you're seeing a real race when it happens. But because the lounge where we tape...
Did you go bet on them?
You know, I was thinking about that. I don't know. Yeah, I guess if I don't show up tomorrow, you'll know I won.
If you hit the lottery, you still show up. You like doing what you're doing.
Somebody told me once, they said, we can tell you like what you're doing because at this time of the morning, if you sound that happy and fun, you must like what you're doing.
You could be making more money doing something else. For maybe another station, what you're making now, gotta like what you're doing.
And I'll tell you, you know, as I've always said, I have had offers from other stations, but I like this. I like the atmosphere we have. I like the group we have. I just like it. It's
you're more in control, you know, here.
I'm in control, but I'll tell you what another part of it is I really do like the people. I have always liked the people, the different groups we've had over the years, and I like this group a lot. And it's a nice atmosphere to work in. Let's put it that way.
Yeah, Matt and Carrington's really, you know, really good for the station.
They really are. And I'll tell you, we taped another episode of The Exchange on Tuesday night. Now, it's not out yet, but it'll be out either today or tomorrow, depending on the schedule with the Little Brown Jug, which we're going to tape an episode there for television as well so people can see what it's like down there, who might not make it down there.
Awesome.
But we taped an episode with Chad Clark on Tuesday, and that is up. So when we're off the air today, go check out the Chad Clark episode of Scott Spears Now on YouTube. Just search Scott Spears Chad Clark. And it's great. His music video is in there, the debut of his music video, One Fifth at a Time. And he also performs about four or five songs live on the show. So take a look at that.
Okay.
Yep. Thanks.
Yep. Bye.
All right. Phone lines are open, 740-751-4038. That's 740-751-4038. Big day today. I might just be stumbling in tomorrow. Because getting out of there tonight might be a project in and of itself. And I'll tell you something else about the Little Brown Jug. A lot of people show up who you might not expect to show up. So that's fun, too. It's got a whole little feel to itself. So, and I certainly echo what the caller just said. Carrington and Matt have brought a lot to the station. So I think I'm not the only one who feels that way. I think a lot of the listeners feel that way as well, and that is a great thing. Because I don't know, I really don't know if I've heard that about a whole lot of other people. In recent years, let me put it that way. Okay, 33 minutes past the hour, and Mary, I'm so glad Mary's out there. Mary said she could hear us loud and clear through her Alexa, and I hadn't heard from Mary for a while, so I'm glad she's out there listening, one of our devoted listeners. So, Mary, glad you're out there with us this morning. 740-751-4038. All right. Want to give our thanks again. We'll do this again this morning. Mr. Shirk, for bringing the live produce to us, to me, last Friday. And best wishes to John and Carolyn Heimlich. Carolyn took a fall a few weeks ago, and she's recovering. But from what I understand, should be better by the end of the month. So we hope everything is going well there. We send our best wishes to John and Carolyn Heimlich. Now, I did put the picture. I finally got the picture up yesterday of the produce and a muffin that somebody gave me. And yesterday, you know, I don't know what I'm doing in life, because apparently I am an awful person sometimes. We've talked about this week. People like to come up and get loud with me in public places. And, you know, I think some people don't like me, which is fine. You know, you can't be loved by everybody. But yesterday, for the second time, a girl who knows how to cook, and I do consider cooking an art form, dropped off to me, totally unexpected, a little dish of homemade cookies. No-bake cookies, peanut butter cookies, chocolate chip cookies, and something called a Jubilee Jumble, which is a kind of a cake cookie that I have never seen, or I wouldn't know how to make it, but they're very good. Got a little icing on top of them. Jubilee Jumbles. So, you know, I'm a lucky person. So you gotta, we've talked this week about the whole incident with the person coming up in public and not very happy with me about an interview. But you know what? There are so many more pluses to this job than that. Like going to the Brown Jug tonight, and also getting who gets cookies delivered to them like that, and vegetables and muffins and, you know, it's really Stewart's Root Beer a few weeks ago. It's a multitude of kindnesses on the audience's behalf. And I always, always, always appreciate that. All right. 57 degrees and sunny skies. 740-751-4038. All right. Well, you know what? There's something I'm going to do next hour, so I'm going to hold off here for a minute. So let's go into this. Okay. Oh, and our little update on things going on around Marion here. The Busy Bee convenience store is supposed to open on Main Street, where Certified was. They have a sign up there, a banner now. Who knows if it will happen? We hope it will sometime soon. The You Roll It Tobacco has moved into the old Fahey Bank location in the mall parking lot. And apparently Goodwill is supposed to move in where You Roll It Tobacco is. Now, that all being said, does anybody know what's going on in Founders Park? We've been asking this all week. Apparently some construction is being done there. Has anybody done any inside work to find out what's going on in Founders Park? If you have, let me know. Now, here's the big topic this morning. Okay. Now, I think by now most people know what other jobs I do. I have two other jobs, so you can kind of figure this out without me telling you the name. But one of the jobs that I do right now is doing a remodel on their restrooms. So while this remodel is happening, people cannot use the restrooms. And it's a complete remodel. It's taking, I think it's going to end up taking 2 weeks or something like that, I heard. So the company, instead of just leaving you without a restroom, which I'm not even sure they would be able to do, has gotten some porta potties and put them outside of the business. And this, I think, started on Sunday or Monday. Now, here's the thing. I'm not even sure porta potty is the right term. Some people call it porta john. Some people call it portable toilet. I don't think people like the term porta potty anymore. That's what I've always called it because I thought that's what it is. But I don't know. In any event, so I did not realize how many people from the outside use the restroom in this location. Because I have had to tell so many people in just the last 4 or 5 days that the restrooms are closed and the restrooms are currently temporarily outside. And people have a weird, I don't know, they look at you funny. They don't want to use the porta potties. They don't want to use the porta johns. I don't know what that's all about. It's so strange. It's a sociological thing. I keep thinking to myself, have these people ever been to a fair? Have they ever been to a festival? Have they ever been to a campground? Have they a beach? Have they ever been to a place where you have to use a portable toilet? I don't know. People look at you like you've lost your mind when you tell them the restrooms are outside. Does anybody know what that is? Is there anybody out there like that? Who, if you said, hey, listen, you got to go outside to use the restroom, you wouldn't do it? Or do you understand this? I've been totally baffled by this entire thing all week. I don't get it. Now, I do understand that if you have a restroom, yes, you'd probably want to use the restroom because there's running water. But if there's no other option, or the option is, hey, listen, there's a porta potty outside, what's the problem? I don't understand it, because there's stuff in there that you can wash your hands with. I did not realize that people had gotten so dainty about things. Now, I don't know if this is a fallout from the pandemic. I don't know what this is, but it's strange. Does anybody have a phobia of portable toilets? Portable commodes. I think that's what I'm going to start calling it. It's a portable commode. That sounds a little more upper crust, doesn't it? 740-751-4038. Go ahead, caller.
Well, you know, they got all kinds of names for the porta potties, but when you're talking about facility, and I know which one you're talking about, just by your description, that down here at McDonald's, they've done the renovation of restrooms there, and I wondered what this, like a trailer, and it had like 3 or 4 steps going up to it with a handle on it where you could hold on to something, and you use those. And they told me that's the toilets because they're remodeling on the inside. And I said, well, that's great. But I said, for somebody that's handicapped or older and have trouble climbing stairs or any other condition, what kind of facility is that you have to go up steps to get into the facility? So they had portable ones on wheels like a trailer. You know, Scott, did you ever see anything like that?
You know, I have seen those.
Okay, so that is an advantage at your place that you're talking about, that what else is there? If you have to relieve yourself, you have to relieve yourself. And I'm going to close on that part, but give me some kind of description when you get back. I think the day of the year I was down there, at the little brown jug, if I'm not mistaken, I think there was like 15 women and 15 men porta potties down there. And that's been back a few years. I can't give you the year that it was, but there was a lot of people down there. And this one person was standing in line, and boy, he said, I gotta go, I gotta go. And I said, well, go over there to one of those. They said, that's women's and this is men's. I said, that don't make no difference. It says locked or unlocked. And I said, you can get bawled out if you just crack the door. Somebody will holler, hey, this is somebody in here. And I said, so that's what they done down there. It wasn't a first come, first serve, and they have a lock and unlock on them. I think that's a code they got for the toilets, but I'll get off of here. But if you got anything else to say about the toilets, that's a pretty good deal as your facility.
Yeah, I think, you know, I have just been shocked. The other day there was a lady, very nice lady. She came in, and clearly she probably uses the restroom before she shops. And she came in, and she started to go back toward the restrooms, and she saw that, you know, the out-of-order sign. And she said, well, where's the restrooms? And I said, well, they're outside. And she looked at me like I was nuts, and she just kind of went on about her business. And then about 10 minutes later, I saw her going outside. But she did not want to do that.
I haven't been out there, but aren't they in the front of the facility where you go into the business?
Yeah, right outside the door.
Well, that would give you a good hint, you know, and then you tell somebody, oh, those are for us, not construction workers or anything. Yeah, so maybe that would be the only thing, you know, but a porta potty is a porta potty, and if it isn't locked and you really have to go, like I say, anybody in there and just crack the door. You don't have to swing it wide open, and nobody in there, you better get in there because... who's going to clean up the mess?
You're right. You got that right. Thanks.
Yep.
Well, it's an interesting thing. Now, if anybody has any thoughts on this, give me a buzz. 740-751-4038. But the caller's exactly right. Last year at the Little Brown Jug, I remember. Now, there are some places where there are inside restrooms, but there are many... portable toilets, portable commodes along the Delaware Fairgrounds. So there you are. Go ahead, caller. Go ahead.
Good morning, Scott. Pastor Craig, how are you?
I was so hoping you were listening this morning.
Oh, yes. I think I might know a thing or two about porta potties.
Yeah. Well, I you know what? I have been shocked by this because I knew it was happening. I knew the plan was, while the bathrooms were being remodeled, that there was going to be porta-johns or whatever people want to call them outside. But I never dreamed that there would... First of all, I never dreamed that many people used the restroom in public like that. Tons of people, apparently. But there's a very turn-your-nose-up kind of snidely thing about this.
Well, yes, there is. And first, to start off, the... official name is portable restrooms.
Now, when did we used to call them porta potties?
Well, back in the, I think that became popular in the 50s and 60s. That really kind of became what they were referred to, and that was back in the days when a lot of porta potties were homemade, were built. The guys that were early on in the industry, they built their own. And they basically were just, an outhouse that they, you know, transported around. And then in the 60s, they got, you know, kind of professional as far as building them, and they became mass-produced. And so, porta-johns, porta-potties, those all kind of names came around in the early days and have kind of stuck, but, you know, in order to kind of add some professionalism to the business, they're officially called portable restrooms, and someone like myself who has a business, we are portable restroom operators.
You know, I'm glad you said that, because the first time I had to direct somebody to these portable restrooms, I did use the term porta potty, because it's not a term that I use a whole lot in life, because I'm usually not directing somebody to something like that. And when I said it, when I heard it come out of my mouth, because I knew they were already apprehensive, because everybody else had been apprehensive, and that term, I think, also was a turnoff. I felt it was a turnoff as it came out of my mouth.
Yeah, it is. It is. It carries kind of a bad connotation. And, you know, and the other thing, too, is, you know, we've kind of gotten a bad rap for portable restrooms because on construction sites, we're, you know, really, that's been a large part of our business traditionally is, you know, construction sites. And, you know, in construction sites, they're dirty, they're muddy, they get a lot of use. Some of the construction workers don't treat them too kindly. You know, I'll be honest, we have occasional problem with people, you know, writing graffiti inside of them. They take a Sharpie marker and they, you know, write all kinds of things. So, you know, it's understandable why people have a bad impression of it. But I really do think that over the years, especially the last decade, you know, a lot of the companies are really trying to do a professional, you know, we run their business professionally, trying to present nice portable toilets and trying to keep them clean. And really, you know, like I said, I can understand people's apprehension, but really, when you walk into those today, chances are pretty good that it's going to be fairly clean and it's really not that unpleasant of an experience.
You know, I'll tell you something that has come up this week because, you know, employees have been using them as well as the public. There is no secret restroom for the employees. So something interesting is that stuff that you put on your hands when you are done. Now, the question has come up, do you still need to wash your hands? What is that stuff?
It is sanitizer. And now there's several different kinds available on the market. Most of them are alcohol-based, but there are a couple that are not alcohol-based. And they can come in a strictly liquid form. They can come in when you know, have it... when you dispense it onto your hands, it's a foam, or I've also seen they have a gel, but it is sanitizer, and no, you don't have to do anything to your hands afterwards. It should, you know, just dry naturally in a few seconds.
Now, I have two more quick questions about this.
Sure.
The other question is, one thing I'm curious about, because I don't remember this blue stuff being in there in years past in the actual commode part of the portable restroom. Is that a new thing, and what is it?
Well, it's been around for a long time, but actually a lot of people didn't really use it for a long time. But now everybody uses it, I think. What it is it's a chemical. It can come in a liquid form or it can come in a solid form that dissolves. But it's a couple of things. It is a deodorizer and it's a disinfectant. So in other words, you know, it's in the toilet to help keep the germs and bacteria down and also, so that it keeps the smell down.
Now, the other question I have is I have, now, some men have turned their nose up at it, but it seems to be more women because I think they do not want anatomy, do not want to sit down on something that many other people have been using, which in my mind, here's the question I have about this whole thing. Now, they use the public restrooms, obviously. And clearly, between everybody using the public restroom, somebody's not running in there and cleaning it up. So, I guess I'm confused on the difference between a portable restroom sitting down and sitting down in a public restroom and the cleanliness. I don't understand it. I mean, if one gets dirty, it's going to get dirty.
Yeah, and stop and think for a minute. At your house, at your home, you don't clean it every time you sit down on it, and if you have other family members, I would guess that it's not getting clean, you know, every time somebody sits down on it. So you've got different people using it at your house. It's a psychological thing that, oh no, I'm out in public, I'm in this portable restroom, other people have sat on it. Somehow, some way, that thought doesn't seem to come up when you're at home.
Well, it's just fascinating because I stood by the door the other day because I was working near the door, and in an 8-hour shift, I ran into a lot of people who I had to direct outside. And the, I mean, they looked at me like I had leprosy or something, telling them that they had to go outside. And I had never realized until that point that there was such a bias to this. But yet, if you and I, one of the managers came over and we had a long conversation about this, about have they never been to a fair? Have they never been to a festival?
Right.
What
right.
Is it because at one point we did have a restroom? I don't understand it.
Right. No, I wonder sometimes, like, you know, when people have that, oh, I don't want to use that. It's like you said, have you never been to a fair? Have you never been to a festival? Have you never been to a baseball tournament at a park where they bring portable toilets in, you know, for that event? You know, it's like, it's not that bad. And I want to say one other thing about the seat, sitting down on the seat. It's not uncommon if we have toilets somewhere that have a lot of females, like at a festival or at a construction site that has women. It's not unusual that you'll notice that they, you know, want to line the seat with toilet paper before they sit down. And so what we do, if we know that there's a construction site and there are going to be females using them, we'll get some of those disposable seat covers. I mean, you have those dispensers inside Kroger on the I believe on some of the toilets there, where, you know, you can get a paper seat cover.
Yeah, I believe so. Yeah,
yeah. We'll get. They come in, you know, packages, and we'll get those, and we'll put them in the toilets that are, in some cases, on our construction sites. They even have a toilet designated for females only. And so we'll put those seat covers in. One, it's, you know, it's a convenience for the people using it. But two, it cuts down on them, you know, lining the seat with toilet paper. And then you've got toilet paper all over the floor and they run out of toilet paper. So, you know, we'll try to provide the seat covers.
You know, a final note on this, because the manager and I who were talking the other day were trying to figure this out, why there was such a bias to this. Do you think the real bias lies in the fact that you can't flush?
Yes. Yeah. I think that has everything to do with it, because when you lift that lid, or the lid may already be up, when you walk in, you can see what's in there. And I think that is the major drawback to the portable restrooms.
Yeah, I think you're right. Well, I appreciate the information, because I really was interested in this, because I was shocked. Because I guess when you're at a fair or a festival, any place with a portable restroom, you're not directing people to it. They'll ask you, where's the restroom? And you say, right over there. But when you are in a place that has a working restroom and people know it because they frequent it often, and then all of a sudden one day you tell them, well, the restroom's outside, there is a bias. And I would not have suspected that would have been there to that degree.
Yeah, it is interesting. That's for sure.
Hey, thanks, Pastor. See you tomorrow.
All right. We'll see you.
Bye-bye.
All right. It's an interesting conversation to have. If anybody has anything to add, 57 minutes past the hour, 740-751-4038. Again, this is another reason you listen to this show, to learn. And this is also why we do this show during the breakfast time at your house. Because we want to come into your home while you're eating your breakfast, and we want to talk about portable restrooms and all the things that go along with them. You know what? When you do a morning show, sometimes you think, well, that's an interesting topic for the breakfast table that morning. But
that's the way it goes. Go ahead, caller.
Yeah, the main thing I always hated about those porta potties, or I like to call them porta johns, because I got a brother named John, and I just love saying I got to use a John. You know what I'm saying?
I'm with you. I always put somebody else's name in there when I say port. I'm not going to tell you whose name I put in there, but it's a port of something. Let's put it that way.
he gets so mad when I say that. It just makes it so fun, you know.
Well, I had no idea there was such a bias to these things, but I'm so glad Pastor Craig called in. I've always wondered what that blue stuff was in there. I've always wondered, you know, do you need to wash your hands? I guess it's up to you if you want to, after you use that stuff on the wall. I thought it was sanitizer, but it always feels a little more grainy to me. So I was wondering if they added something to it. And I wondered if the real bias came from just no way to flush, which apparently is what it is.
Well, I think that's a lot of it, but I hate them because I've always been a fairly big guy, and there's no room in there.
Well, I'll tell you, interestingly enough, we have one regular one, but we have a handicapped one, which is bigger.
Oh, really?
We do.
Cool.
Yeah, so, you know,
I've never seen them like that.
Beggars can't be choosy.
But is that a proper way to wash your hands like that?
Yeah, that's what Pastor Craig said. Yeah. Hey, we got to go to break. Come back with us.
Okay.
All right. We're coming up on the break here. And again, hope you're enjoying your grapefruit and your Frosted Flakes and your Cheerios, pancakes, waffles, whatever you're having this morning, as we learn about the world of portable restrooms, which is the technical term. So we're going to flush this hour and come back next hour with much more. Don't go
anywhere. You're listening to The Talking Place. Just listen to former star of The Jeffersons and 227, Marla Gibbs.
Where did the name Marla come from? It's so unique.
I made it up.
Really?
My name is Margaret. And I thought that was too mouthy. Margaret